It's good to see everyone out this morning. The Bible reading will be in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at the very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. We're continuing our series this morning on the question or the theme of being useful as we age. And the subject of this lesson this morning is that as we get older, we can still be useful in the service of God by being a prayer warrior. The first time I heard this phrase, prayer warrior, was many, many years ago when the Kettering congregation had the late Pete Wilson do an entire gospel meeting on the subject of prayer. I don't know if any of you remember that or were ever a part of that. In that series, Brother Wilson spoke of a group of Christians in the congregation that he was at back in Oregon that he called prayer warriors. That group consisted of a number of the older men and women of the congregation. Many of them were shut-ins. Others who maybe were not totally shut in were very limited in what they could do due to the infirmities of their age. But Brother Wilson pointed out that group of people recognized that one of the things that they could still do in the service of the Lord's church from their wheelchairs or even from their beds was pray. And so they made lists of those both within and without of their congregation and devoted themselves to regularly praying for those people by name. I always approach a lesson on prayer with some hesitancy because I admit to you that my own prayer life has always been a challenge to me. And I try to pray regularly, but I always feel like I'm so very ineffective with it. So most of what is being said in the lesson this morning is very much directed to me. And hopefully you can get something else out of it as well. The Bible text that we read this morning is an example of an older person who fits this description of being a prayer warrior. A widow who spent most of her widowed life in the temple serving God. Now we know that only the priests could go into the sanctuary of the temple. But if you've studied about the temple in Jerusalem and looked at any of the articles in archaeological magazines or in Bible encyclopedias about it, you know that the temple complex itself was huge. And women were allowed into some of the courts of the temple. And so the idea we get is that this lady lived there and never left there and spent the most of her life trying to serve God, including being a woman of prayer. And so in the lesson this morning, I want to look at a number of scriptures on the subject of prayer and try to make specific applications to us as to how, as we age, we can still apply these things to our lives, and that they provide us a very great opportunity to continue to be of great service to God and to His kingdom. So as we begin, we understand that basically all Christians are exhorted to praise, to prayer. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, perhaps a verse we all can quote, Paul tells the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. That is, to not cease in the activity of prayer, for their regular prayer to continue. And I think a biblical example of that was Daniel, who had the habit of morning and noon and night going into his room and opening the windows back towards Jerusalem as he was a captive in Babylon, and praying to God. And even when a law was passed that it was unlawful in the kingdom to pray to anyone but the king, Daniel continued to go and open his windows and pray as he always had. And that's what led to the famous story of Daniel in the lion's den. So he prayed without ceasing, not even an edict of the king saying you can't pray to your God kept Daniel from doing that. And so I believe the application for all of us is that there are not anything that we have in our life, including getting older, getting less capable of doing many other things in life because of the infirmities of age or of disease. There is really nothing that can constitute an impediment to Christians continuing to pray and to use that as an important part of their spiritual life. Another exhortation is found in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, where Paul tells those brethren, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And there Paul connects the attitude of both thanksgiving and the petitions of prayer. These scriptures are really enjoined and are applicable to all of us as Christians. But as we have noted in regard to the theme of these early morning lessons, this is something that older Christians not only are not exempt from, it is something that they can do when maybe many other things they used to do in the service of God are no longer available to them because of their decreased capacities. And so that's the thought that we want to share this morning. The scriptures make it very clear to us that God is delighted when His children take the time to approach Him in prayer. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8, Solomon says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. God takes delight when His children approach Him in prayer. This is a verse that has been very encouraging to me because, as I said, I don't feel like I do a very good job with prayer. But one of the things that keeps me at it is the fact that the Lord will recognize my attempts and will take delight in it. In Proverbs 15 and verse 29, it says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. So the Lord hears us when we strive to approach Him in prayer. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ear attends to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so His ears attend to our prayers. When we make the effort to pray to Him, we are assured by His word that He is there listening to us and responding for us. And so the bulk of what we need to say this morning is to just kind of bring this to our mind as to that we need to be praying. And so the answer of, if I'm going to be a prayer warrior in my old age, if I'm going to practice prayer as this lesson is exhorting us to do. Well, who is it that I can pray for? And I think about that and think about the time that is spent and can be spent in prayer. First off, we can pray for ourselves. You know, Jesus gave that exhortation to his apostles on the night in which he was betrayed, when he went into the garden to pray for himself. But he told them in Matthew 26 and verse 41, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus exhorted those who were closest to him that they needed to be praying, and they needed to be praying for themselves because of the stress of life. We are fleshly beings, and the flesh is weak. It is ever abundant to us that as a fleshly being, I have no trouble getting involved in something like sports or maybe even sinful desires, and my mind can dwell on those, and I have to force myself to not think about those things. But then when it comes to prayer, I say, well, you know, I don't have much to pray for. Well, yes, we do. And it starts with praying for ourselves. We need to be aware of our constant need for prayer. And particularly as we get older. When I was young, I used to think, well, one thing about getting older is some of these things that bother me so much, some of these temptations, will go away. Now, that's true. You either don't have the energy for them, as I read one older person say on a meme they put on Facebook, said, I couldn't wait to go to a party, and I would party till late into the evening. Says, now when I go to a party, I can't wait for 9 o'clock to come because it's time to go home and go to bed. And so, yes, I recognize that. Some of the things that bothered me when I was very young don't provide much of a temptation anymore. But the truth of the matter is, there are just more temptations that come when you're older. They're different, but they're still there. The ease with which we may excuse ourselves from opportunities or responsibilities simply because we're older and we don't feel well. We need to understand, as older Christians, we may need to ask the Lord's help to help us overcome discouragement. One thing that I can remember in my 20s, my family did not disappoint me. I didn't think about it that much. But you know, as you get older, families can disappoint. Physical conditions can bother us that used to not bother us. Even things like the concerns for our brothers and sisters in our congregation, the kind of things that we have been through in the last year and a half, all of those things can be a source of discouragement. The need for perseverance in the face of physical suffering that's brought on by age and illness. Thought about that this morning. Brother Gary Sandusky died yesterday. He was an exhorter, like we talked about last week. Hasn't been able to stand in the pulpit and preach for months now. But then I saw a post this morning from a girl that was a little girl when Debbie and I were in Hobart, and is a really strong Christian. And she mentioned in her post about Gary's passing that she went to hear him preach a week ago from his wheelchair, and how forceful it was. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen or heard Gary preach. But in his weakened state, she said, when the invitation was sung, his Bible was held up like that. That's what he always did. than a man that was going to die within 2 weeks and had to speak from his wheelchair, persevered, and did what he always did, even though he's old and even though he knew he was dying. His family had Thanksgiving 3 weeks ago because they knew he probably wouldn't make it till this week. And that didn't keep him. That didn't discourage him. And I think about the number of times that I get so upset over such little things and become discouraged over things that I should just plow right on through. We can pray for that. We can pray as we see our loved ones physically suffering the deterioration of age, or as we feel it ourselves. We can pray that we maintain our faith as ultimately we approach death, because that's going to come to every one of us sooner or later. Well, I'm going to lose track of my time here, and we got several other things. Not only should we pray for ourselves, we can pray for those who are ministering to the Lord or for the Lord. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 15 and verse 30, I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. The Apostle Paul needed the prayers of those that he taught. If Paul, an apostle, could recognize the value of brothers praying for him, well, then we can, in the 21st century, identify those that we can pray for in our prayers, that we can go to spiritual war for them and with them. Those who serve our local church here, our elders, our deacons, our preachers, those who teach the Bible class, those who lead the singing, those who are struggling with their own problems of aging and health. We can pray for the evangelists this church supports, spreading the gospel in Africa and South America and the Philippines. We can pray for other preachers and servants of God that we know from other places, churches that we were members of in other stages of our life, preachers that have influenced us through their lives. There are many of those type of people that we can place in our prayers in the same way that Paul asked the brethren to pray for him. Then we can just pray for our brethren in general. The Apostle Paul said, for one thing, he wanted to mention them in his prayers because he was thankful for them. Ephesians 1 and verse 16, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. An appreciation for those brothers and sisters in Christ who have done so much for us over the years. We can pray for the spiritual growth of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We can pray for their faithfulness. Paul said in Colossians 4 and verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. So we have our brothers to pray for. We can pray for the sick. James 5 and verse 15, 16 says, the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. The context of the verse is addressed specifically to elders, and they're ministering to members of the church that are sick and facing death. But in general, it's probably one of the areas where Christians actually do pretty well in prayer. When we know that we have those who are facing surgery or are dealing with sick, or even with terminal illnesses, those type of things. I admit to you, that's one of the easiest things for me is to specifically mention people who've lost loved ones, people who are dealing with the challenges of illness and so forth. We can pray for our rulers, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Someone says, but our rulers are not good rulers. That's not what Paul says. He says you can still pray for them, that they do a good job, and that you can live as a Christian the way that you ought to live under their rule. We can pray for our enemies. Jesus specifically commanded this. Matthew 5 and verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Luke 6, 28, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. And ironically, some of the times our rulers that we are to pray for are among those who are our enemies and mistreat us, but that just adds to the need for prayer. So our time is up. So as we age, we may lose some of our energy, some of our mobility, some of our capabilities. We may not be able to do all that we once did in the service of the Lord. But I hope that this lesson has provided encouragement to all of us that we can play a role in furthering the cause of Christ by becoming one of his prayer warriors. Brother Bragg, Brother Rose is ill, not able to be here. Brother Jim, I think, is going to lead the prayer for us this morning. And then we'll be dismissed to our Bible class.